is presented here with Jochebed and Mary. But regardless of their age, regardless of their level of experience, regardless of their setting, I guess, if we could say it that way, God used them in a powerful way. And thank God for how the Lord would demonstrate his goodness in the hands of a mother. Hebrews 11:23, a commentary on Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, or by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now remember, the king's commandment was every male baby was to be thrown into the Nile, into the river. And that was to be the end of what they perceived as a security threat in within the borders of Egypt. And in the same way, there was a threat on the life of Jesus when Herod, in his jealous wrath, would want to eliminate anyone who would be a contender for his throne. And so there's a likeness there. The focus thought brings out how a mother can shape the next generation. And that is indeed a powerful influence to be able to shape the next generation. Actually, you know, she obviously brings the next generation into being. Without a mother, that couldn't happen. But she also can shape, influence, help form, and be a blessing to that next generation. And then through that influence, touch the future. And praise God, the promises to you and to your children. I'm thankful that the Lord endorses that. The Lord includes that in his plan. It's not to be just a isolated thing, and then it's no longer available. You know, that's amazing to me that there are those who would teach that the Holy Ghost outpouring was for the apostles only, and it's over, it's done, it's not available any longer. First of all, why in the world would you want to cut it off? Why would you want to limit it to just that small group or just to that generation? Thank God it's to all. In our lesson text, as we'll refer to it as we go through here, the portion that talks about Jochebed and Amram, and then the portion that talks about Mary. Queen Elizabeth is either 92 or approaching her 92nd birthday. She is the longest reigning monarch in British history. She took the throne when she was 26. And can you imagine? That was in 1953. I don't know how widespread TV coverage was then. Probably not a whole lot, black and white and so on. But I'm sure her mother was present at the actual coronation and seeing her 26-year-old daughter take the throne, rise to the throne. What thoughts went through her head? What was she thinking? I hope I prepared her. I hope her education is adequate. I hope she is successful. You know, all of those things that a parent, and especially a mom, would be concerned about. And we have a kingdom. We live in a kingdom. It's not the British Empire. Of course, it's the kingdom of the Lord. And there are servants who are being raised in that kingdom to be faithful. Amen. May not sit on the throne, may not have a kingdom on which the sun never sets, you know, all those descriptions about the British Empire. But Sunday school teachers being raised in that kingdom, youth workers being raised in that kingdom, amen, musicians, singers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, on and on it goes, because that's what's going to affect eternity. And I think that longer-lasting kingdom is what we keep an eye on today and understand how important that is. Amen. There's a saying, and you may be familiar with the saying, but I'm going to ask you what ending you would put to that saying. And the saying starts, "The hand that rocks the cradle is," and you may know the ending. But what kind of ending would you put? What would you add to after "is"? The hand that rocks the cradle is what? The hand that rules the world. That's how the saying, that's how the original saying goes. But let's make up some of our own. Brother Steve? Okay. Definitely that influence that would have an impact, a direct impact, negative or positive. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more negative examples because of the sins of society, because of the epidemic of drugs and the influence of evil. We're seeing more negative influence than positive. Things have changed. They definitely have changed. Okay, anybody else got an ending? Is what? Yeah, very sleepy because late nights. You know, to say that you sleep like a baby really isn't that really isn't a restful sleep. You wake up every 2 hours crying and carrying on, you know. Okay. That's something for you to continue to think about, because of definitely that influence is very strong and very influential. Precious moments that a mother has with her child for 9 months. Their heartbeats have been together. they've been in very close proximity and all of those things. And in Moses' case, he stayed by his mother's side until he was weaned. Now, that's not very long. That's still a very young child. But amazingly, what she imparted to him, what she taught him, is what stayed with him and caused him then, 40 years later or 35 years later, to say, "I'm a Hebrew. I'm not an Egyptian." And that was quite a proclamation, quite a choice for him to make, because according to the commentary in Hebrews 11, it was a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the treasures of Egypt. And so that was quite a choice that he made. But again, that underscores how strong, how influential a mother can be. And naturally, she would pray, she would ask God, she would plead for the life of her son and so on, and the Lord would step in and do the work that he had as well. Because goodness, I just can't imagine half the population being thrown into, half the babies being born being thrown into the Nile River. I can't imagine the tears, the heartbreak, the depression. And they were expected to go on with their lives as slaves without any comfort, without any assurance or anything like that. It was just really an oppressive time by the Pharaoh in Egypt. And he didn't have any compassion. He didn't have any concern. This was the way it is. He made the decree, and it had to be followed. In the same way, Mary and Joseph lived in a time of the tyranny of the Roman Empire. And they had to make the journey to be taxed. They had to go to, Joseph had to go to the home, ancestral home, in order to be taxed. And so Mary, you know, the Bible describes her great with child and making that journey. And then while they were in Bethlehem, away from their home, while they were in Bethlehem, she gave birth. Very difficult circumstances. Not ideal, not even good. And it was because of the Roman Empire's tyranny. And then King Herod, getting word from the three magi, the wise men, as we call them, and saying, they're making their inquiry, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star. When did you see it? About 2 years ago. And we've been following. And we've been traveling. We've been journeying. And we're here. Where is he? Herod would inquire of the scribes, the priests in Bethlehem, Judah. And, okay, he would direct them. And then he would, you know, make his statement, when you found him, come and let me know so that I could go and worship him too. Well, that wasn't his true intention. And his true intention was revealed after the wise men did not return. And he dispatched his execution squad. And again, I can't imagine the terror, the horror of those male babies being ripped out of mother's arms, homes being invaded, the execution squad going from house to house. Oh, how awful. How awful. And in those disasters, and especially today, and probably there were some back then, especially today, they ask, where's God? Where's God? Why couldn't God do this? It wasn't God's fault. It was man. It was an evil king. It was Herod who even killed his own sons because he was afraid of someone trying to take his throne. That's the evil that's in man. That's why the scripture says, Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And that's why the Lord needs to give a new heart and a new life. Praise God. And he can do that. But Mary gave birth. And Luke 2:40 says that the child grew. He waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. It's talking about the little boy, the little baby. And though he was God manifest in the flesh, he was totally flesh as well. And he grew as a little child. He matured as a little child. He learned to take his first steps. And Mary and Joseph clapped and cheered. And he toddled along. Just like we're doing at our house now. Yeah. Jackie taking her first steps. And all of the aspects that you parents know would accompany the the growth and the maturity of a child. And both these mothers, Jochebed and Mary, would be ones who would fulfill the primary role because of the effort that the Spirit would put in them to be the influence for good in the relative short period of time that they had. And what a powerful influence they were. Jochebed with Moses, Mary with Jesus, both of them destined to be ones who would deliver. Now, deliver from Egypt, and the deliverance from Rome did not happen. But there was a worse tyranny, by far a worse tyranny than the Roman Empire or the Egyptian Empire or the Babylonians or whoever else you want to name that mistreated the people of God. And that tyranny is sin. And Jesus came to bring deliverance from it. And thank the Lord. We could live in that freedom, that liberty, that deliverance, because it's a far worse tyranny than anything that that man would produce. Brother Mike. That is an odd occurrence when they were they had made the trip and they're heading back home and Jesus is not among them. Oh, he thought he was with you. Oh, I thought he was with you. And they return to Jerusalem and they find him in the temple.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. But I guess that says a couple of things that shows obviously. The direction that the Lord knew he was going, and Mary and Joseph knew as well, because he said, "Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And then another thing that it shows is the strong family cohesiveness, the way the family unit functioned together. They had trust, they had confidence, they had recognition that our kids are okay. Everybody's looking out for him. We're all together in this, and so they held on like that. But yeah, that must have been a frightening moment for Mary. I'm sure she had other children by then. There are several brothers listed, as well as sisters of the Lord. When people are questioning his credentials, you know. Isn't this the farmer's son? Aren't these, or the carpenter rather, aren't these his brothers? You know, and they're having trouble processing how he could speak with such authority and such knowledge, and yet this is his background. This is his family.
Yes.
And now Mary had her hands full. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that it's just a 12-year-old boy that she's got to keep track of. She's got several others. By this time, but yet, what a strong statement of influence that the Lord is a 12-year-old boy. Of course, he's the Word made flesh. He's the Word of God. But yet, as a 12-year-old boy, being able to talk about the things of the Word of God, the law, and so on. Amen. And. The work of a parent, pretty amazing. So Jochebed did have experience before Moses was born. She had two children before him. She had Miriam, the older sister, and Aaron, their older brother. And then Moses came along. So she already knows about childhood sicknesses, emergencies, scrapes and bruises, coughs and colds. She knows that. She's experienced. Mary, on the other hand, has no experience. In fact, she probably barely has experience babysitting. Yeah. She's She's just an older teen. Now, why do you think the Lord chose her? And well, we can see why the Lord chose her, because of her attitude. Be it unto me according to thy word. She was sold out. She was given over to the will of God and the desire to fulfill God's word in her life. And we see that in the text, verse 38. Be it unto me according to thy word. But she has no experience. Why would the Lord trust an inexperienced mom with the care of the Messiah? You'd think, like Jochebed, oh, okay, here's someone who's proven herself. Here's someone who raised two others, a boy and a girl, carefully and has done it well. That's who I'm going to trust to give birth to the Messiah and care for him. Why was it an inexperienced woman who was chosen? And by the way, we talked about Elizabeth last time and how she's an older woman. She's a new mother, but she's an older woman with a lot of experience, probably with nieces and nephews and so on, and just a lot of knowledge. Why would the Lord choose this one? Okay, the prophecy would lend itself to the fulfilling of it. The modern translation says a young woman, Isaiah 7:14, a young woman, doesn't specify virgin, but we know the original says that, and that's God's word is going to be fulfilled, Brother Norm. Purity. Virtue means something to the Lord. Otherwise, there's another Mary. Mary Magdalene. Seven demons cast out of her. Why didn't the Lord use somebody like that? Because purity means something. Virtue means something. It matters. And thank God the Lord can take a life like Mary Magdalene and completely change it. And those seven demons being cast out, and where Mark years later would comment, she had seven demons cast out of her. Not because he's trying to cast a shadow on her, not because he's trying to demean her. He's simply pointing out her life has changed. And she's stayed changed. She's not gone back to that lifestyle that demonic activity drug her down to. The Lord can bring an incredible change. Praise God. And thank the Lord that virtue makes a difference. Amen. Even though she was young, she was inexperienced, she was not a mother, that matters. And that's why Philippians 4 and 8, when the apostle has talked about anxiety and care and worry and so on, and he says, don't do that. Go ahead and pray. Let the peace of God that passes understanding keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 8, Philippians 4, and says, this is what you should think about. And that list includes virtue. If there be any virtue, think on these things. Amen. So Paul would emphasize that. Peter likewise would say, add to your faith. In 2 Peter 1 and 5, he's talking about exceeding great and precious promises. And God would give us all things godliness to enjoy. Therefore, add to your faith. And that list, an impressive list, includes virtue. Because virtue matters. Amen. And that's what the Lord would call us to. That's what the Lord would have us to step into so that we could do the work of the Lord. Amen. And Praise God. I'm thankful for what the Lord was able to produce within the willingness of Mary. Look at verse 33 of Luke 1. This is what she heard. This is what she recognized, that he shall reign. You're going to have a boy. You're going to name him Jesus. And this is what's going to happen. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. She's getting the identity here. She's getting the destiny. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the one that we've been praying for, hoping for, looking for, generation after generation. And now he is coming through me. Huh, that's quite a recognition, quite a realization. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. There's the clincher of who he is. So it really starts to hit home with her as to what the Lord's going to do. He's going to use her to bring about the reality of the Messiah. And that's why she would ask, who, me? Because that's quite an undertaking. And yet her willingness, be it unto me according to thy word, would take her through motherhood and raising her Jesus, raising the other children. Joseph, being an older man, when he was married, probably passed off the scene. And we see Mary at the cross. We see Mary at the tomb. We see Mary in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. And being filled with the Spirit because she believed, be it unto me according to thy word. That was her her stand and her desire to see the work of God fulfilled in her life. So, principles of mothering is a section in the lesson here, and we'll go through these here quickly. Righteousness and integrity in a personal sense. Both of these moms possessed that. Even though thousands of years separated them, again, virtue matters. And their own righteousness and integrity was something that they could manifest display. Not in a look at me attitude, but just in reality. They lived it. And that's why the Lord used them. They had vision and hope for the future. They knew it wasn't going to be just for this moment. There is going to be impact. And future is going to be changed. And we look at Jeremiah 29:11, a very popular verse that talks about the future and the things that God has planned for people. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the New King James reads. The thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And these moms recognized how important that was and built towards that, knew that this is what they were going to see come to pass, and the hand of God was going to be displayed there as well. Knowledge of the Word of God. The Word of God it's not static. It's not something that is just a book on a shelf. There's lots of books. James Dobson has written a number of books that are really, really, really helpful. And I've heard him on the radio. I've heard him in videos. And I really think he's qualified to speak on raising children. And just amazing, some of the insights that he has that leads me to think there's something more in his experience than just I believe. I think he's got something more. At any rate, he's written some amazing books, and then there are others that would be very helpful about love languages, about, well, just any number of topics that you can find that are wisdom and good. But the Word of God, the Word of God, that's got to be focused. That's got to be the focal point. And the Bible tells it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and that's coming from the writer's perspective of the Roman Empire that's all around him. And he recognizes the power of the sword, and he says the Word of God is more powerful than that. And it divides asunder even things that you would think could not be divided, soul and spirit and thoughts and intents of the heart and so on. The Word of God is alive to make an impact that is so strong. And so we don't neglect that aspect of it. We recognize, okay, that's what I've got to hold on to. Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid." Now, that's a sad thing that the Word of God is hidden on the shelf or on the coffee table or by the bedside and so on, and it's gathering dust. No, where it needs to be hid is in our hearts. Amen. In our minds, in our whole experience. And I think even though the Word of God was not in printed form and not in written form in Jochebed's day, she could still impart powerful truths to her son Moses and likewise her older children. And by the way, that powerful word that she would impart makes for some amazing impact on all three of her children. Brother Mike pointed out something when we were discussing this lesson. Go ahead, Brother Mike, on Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. So all three of Jochebed and Amram's children had an amazing impact on the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses obviously being the primary, but they all had a part. That, I think, is due to the impartation of the Word. Again, even though it wasn't written, there would be the aspect of how that God is faithful and God is going to do a work in you and through you. Praise God. So their faith and their fearlessness was something that God used to help those children grow up to be used of God in such a powerful way. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we can change that to a positive statement. With faith, it is possible to please Him. Praise God. For we believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that's how powerful that faith is. And the Bible says every man is given a measure of faith. And Jesus talked about, a mustard seed. Real tiny, itsy-bitsy seed. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. That's a pretty amazing qualification of how little faith can make such a difference, and then it can become great faith. Okay, now, here's another question for you. We know Ephesians 6 talks about we're up against. We're against. That word against appears five times. Against the rulers of darkness. Against principalities and powers. We know that we're in a battle. We know that. We know we're prepared. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have a belt of truth. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. And our shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. We know that. Why does the Scripture say, above all, take the shield of faith? I would have thought the helmet of salvation. Why does it say, above all, take the shield of faith? That faith aspect is so important for, first of all, pleasing the Lord. We recognize that. And then we put that faith in operation. What else? Why does it say, above all, take the shield of faith? What about the sword of the Spirit? What about the helmet of salvation? What about the belt of truth? You know, all the other aspects that are there in that list of the armor. Above all. Okay. That's the beginning of the interaction with God, the relationship that that we have, and everything else has to be built on faith. Brother Alex?
Well, in the field of battle, the shield can protect all those other things.
Okay.
It can protect the head, can protect the, against the enemy's sword, you know, against the enemy's, you know.
Right. All right, it does duty in more ways than one. And the scripture goes on to say it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked.
So the opposition, the offense of the enemy, it goes against them.
All right. And it's effective enough to protect you against everything the devil can throw against you. Okay, good reasons why, Sister Phoebe. There was a way they could unify their efforts, a way that they could work together as a team, and their faith became effective in that way. So, pretty amazing all of the things that can take place.
Faith is the currency of the supernatural. That's how we access anything in the spirit. And as we exercise and build our faith, that's going to build that shield around us. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are or what we're facing, what it looks like. Our faith is unshakable. Because God and our spirit is with God, and how we exercise that, we pass.
Okay. So, the value that is placed on faith, the effect that faith has, the work that faith can accomplish. Our list can go on. That's why this is the victory that overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4 states, the victory that overcomes the world? Faith. You know, he doesn't, there's lots of things that I perhaps would have named. Oh, the victory that overcomes the world is the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus. We could have inserted all of those things, but it's faith. And then that operation of faith within us to acclaim or to receive all that the Lord would provide, and that relationship grow, and that strength be imparted from the Lord. It just, it's a good thing. Amen. And Moses would encourage, he would encourage faith. Deuteronomy 31:6, this is what he would say to the people of Israel. And he's about to, this is about the end here. He's coming to a close in his ministry. And he would admonish them, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so the words of Moses to encourage, to instill faith, would be something that the Lord would repeat to Joshua a whole bunch of times in the first chapter of Joshua. That faith factor that needs to come up stronger. Praise God. So, their faith and their fearlessness. So just a few minutes left here. Their support and presence. Their nurturing, their protection, their being a keeper at home, the Bible says. And that aspect is so necessary, the support and love of a child that would be manifest in her work day in and day out. Praise God. And then finally, saying, okay, time for you to work for the Lord. Hannah raised Samuel and then brought him to the temple. And every year she would bring him a coat. Every year she would provide this new coat for him. And then finally she had to release him to do the work that God had called him to do, the prophet. And the power of the Lord. And that's what a mom does today. Praise God. And thank God for our moms. This example of Jochebed and Mary, and thank God that those qualities, those aspects, those characteristics, those attributes are still at work today. Praise God. And there are still workers for God that are coming forth. Amen. Brother Mike? Because you remember, Mary, as a young mom, kept these things in her heart. The word says, and pondered them. She didn't right over the top of her head, and you know she's all busy about doing the things that a young mom would do. She kept those things that Anna said, 84-year-old plus, who prayed and fasted in the temple, and Simeon, who was told by the Holy Ghost, you're going to see the Messiah. and so she kept those things. She held those things, the things that the angel told her, and what Jesus said in the temple when he was 12 years old, and all of that stuff, she held on to it, and then she knew it's time. Sister Phoebe. She didn't, you know, take out a full-page ad and say, hey, pay attention here. Something's going to happen. And nor did she broadcast it in the sense of being a bragging parent. And she continued to do her job, fulfill her responsibility. And here Jesus is a 30-year-old now. And her nephew John is preaching powerfully and affecting segments of society that you wouldn't have thought would even listen to a preacher. And she's seeing all of this, and then she recognizes, okay, God's going to do something powerful, and then that ministry started. Praise God. It's exciting to look into the word of the Lord and see how the Lord fulfilled all of these aspects of his word and how it can still be fulfilled with all of the distractions, all of the aspects of media that would be calling and crying and pulling our young people away. Thank God for moms that stay faithful, dads that stay faithful, churches that stay faithful. Amen. And raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right, we're going to go to prayer. We thank the Lord for the Wades. Amen. We prayed for them every service. And very thankful they're here in the house of the Lord. Praise God. We'll pray for Brother Cliff, that the Lord would give him strength and a touch of healing. Praise God. And Granny is still struggling with pain. She's doing better, and we're thankful for that, Sister Denny. But please continue to hold her up in prayer. Her physical therapy starts in earnest this week, and so hopefully the pain will go away, and that's the main concern at this point. We thank God for the work at the campground. We pray that would progress well and workers be safe. And then our services with Brother Lamas at the end of the month, 24th to the 27th. Lots of things going on at that time, but we want to move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That the Lord would minister in our midst. Praise God. Let's stand together and bring these needs to the Lord and ask God for his help. Lord Jesus.